Now, I don't know if you ever look at the news. I can't help but see it. If you turn your computer on, it hits you in the face. But don't focus on it too long. If you focus on it too long, you'll look like you look. Can you say amen? You'll look like you look. It will take the focus off of Him, what He's done and what He's doing. Last time I read the scripture, these things must come to pass. But God is in control of it all, and it's all falling into a master plan that a sovereign God has told us about through His Son, amen, Jesus Christ. When you see these things begin to come to pass, can't help but see them. It's time to get a spirit of holy anticipation of the soon coming of Jesus. Amen. He said, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, Lord have mercy. Say it with me, Lord have mercy. This is plural. This is not just a couple of nations. This is global. Wars and rumors of wars. And it's not just what's going on in the immediate sense between America and Iran and Russia and the Ukraine. It's global. It's the threat between Japan and China and Thailand. It's just all over the place. Wars and rumors of wars. When you see all of that, when you hear of that, lift up your head. The end is not yet. It's not yet. But the beginning of the end has begun. For the scripture said, these things that you're seeing, this beginning of the end, is the beginning of sorrows. The actual word in the Greek is birth pangs. It means this beginning is going to have a consummation and an end. It's not yet, but the end has begun. And He said, because you know that this is occurring, when you see it, lift up your head, because there's a tendency to hang your head because it looks like it's all out of control. But God is saying, but I'm still in control. And Jesus said, these things must come to pass. Part of God's master plan for the end time. Hallelujah. It's a good to be a Christian today. In these uncertain times, to be certain that God, who holds the whole world in His hands. There's another verse of that song. He holds you and me, brother. And you and me, sister. In the same hands that He holds this world in. Praise God. So, I would just say, lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing nigh today. Don't make me have to whoop nobody. I don't whoop people. Give me a fist bump. I might whoop you with a word, but I won't whoop you with this thing. If I brought my daddy this thing, he'd go get something way bigger. Amen. Because I brought him a little one time. He said, go cut me a limb. And I said, a limb? Oh, you can't be serious. Go cut me a limb, because I had been a bad boy. And a bad boy back then is way different from bad boys now. Amen. So, go cut me a limb. And I went and got some little old something that I knew if he hits me with that, it'll just break right off. And I handed it to him. He said, I'll go get it myself. So I got a medium limb the next time. It'll hurt a little bit, but not a lot. Listen, this is the end time. And if we ever needed to celebrate our Savior, it's now. To celebrate what He's done for us and what He's getting ready to do for us. Praise God. Now, I don't know about you, but this world, my son, he gets on YouTube and he goes to all the clickbait things and he said, Dad, this world's in a bad. Yeah, tell me about it. And I always relate it to prophecy. But that don't seem to help him. It's like, but this is happening right now. What if, what if, what if? And I try to get him out of the what ifs and get him into the fact that God is in control and He has a master plan. Amen. And here's something that he does in the whole world globally, and he can do with you and me. Amen. For we know as Christians that all things, including all of that stuff, all things work together for good. Yes. To them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. He has a purpose in whatever's touching your life. Mm-hmm. Amen. And the next verse tells you the purpose. Yeah. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestine, mm-hmm, to be conformed to the image of his Son. Yes. How many want to be more like Jesus? Amen. Well, I'm going to ask you a second time after I give you a scripture. Because you raise your hand, you want to be more like Jesus. And you wonder why he is taking you through the trial instead of taking you from it. May I tell you? Thank you, I will anyway. I'm not even going to wait. You probably don't want to hear it. But you need to hear it, because if you're going through it, you need to know there's a purpose in it. And it's good. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son. It goes on to say that the whole fivefold ministry is for that express purpose. Amen. Till we come to the fullness of the measure of Jesus Christ. Amen. We come to be more progressively like him. Amen. And he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. For as much, Peter says, for as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, not in his spirit, but in his flesh. Yeah. Arm yourself with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh, crucified the flesh, the lust thereof, amen, has ceased from sin, that he no more live his life to the will of the flesh. How many know the will of your flesh is to sin? And if you don't crucify it, it will. That he no more live his life to the will of the flesh, but to the will of God. That's when you're becoming more like Jesus. Amen. Who said, not my will in the garden, yeah, but thy will be done. Yes. And was obedient to the death of the cross. Can you say amen? Amen. That's what it means to take up your cross, yeah, and follow his example. Yeah. And there's a glory in it. So if you're going through something, God's going to take you through. If you're in the fire, there's a fourth man in there with you who said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Can you say amen? So think it not strange, unusual, unique, the fiery trial that has come to try you, as some strange thing has happened unto you. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're... This is Palm Sunday, but we need to understand this to celebrate Palm Sunday, yeah, properly. Think it not strange. Yeah, but that gal on TV. Yeah, well, that's the gal on TV. I hate to tell it to you. 1 hour on TV is not where those people live. That's where they live before the camera. Yeah. All you see is 1 hour or 30 minutes or whatever on television. You do not see the home life. You do not see the work life. If someone works and is bivocational like I was, amen. But there's a life to be lived that you can't exempt yourself from the tribulation, pressure, and anguish of living in a faulty body in a fallen world with a formidable foe that's relentlessly going to attack you and accuse you, called the devil. You can't escape it, but you can focus on him, yeah, and the fact that he's working good for you. Yeah. He's able to turn whatever it is in your life completely around. Yeah. That's what he did on Palm Sunday. Something is happening. I want to say this not prophetically. I'm going to say it personally. So separate me from some great prophetic utterance. But I feel this in my spirit. I want to say it this morning before we go any further. Before Jesus went from Palm Sunday to be arrested, nailed to a cross, beat almost to death before that occurred. He stopped at the temple. Isn't that amazing? With all of this important, vital to our salvation work to be done, he set himself like a flint for it to happen. But he stopped at the temple. He went in and he found money changers. And he looked at that and he said, is not my house supposed to be a house of prayer? And you have turned it into a den of thieves. And he kicked over the tables. Oh, by the way, he didn't lose his temper. He took his time. And he took pieces of rope and braided it into a whip. Amen? Did he not braid it into a whip in the scripture? And if they didn't run out that door, he was going to whoop a bunch of jaybirds that had got in there and turned the house of prayer into a house of materialistic greed. And what has happened in a big part of the church world today is turning the house of prayer into a den of thieves. Robbing, taking more and more and more, and never, ever having enough. Never stepping out one time and say, what David said when he built the temple in the will of God, amen, Solomon, and David gave of his own into it. Solomon contributed his own into it. And people were bringing so much to build that temple that they had an overflow, an overabundance. And he said, don't bring any more. We've got enough. Wouldn't it be wonderful sometime, instead of begging for more for somebody? Now, we need more, by the way, but I'm not begging for it. I want you to understand, I'm willing to go to work if necessary. I'm almost 80. How old were you when you were a crossing guard?
In my 70s. I started in my 70s.
You started in your 70s at working for the Sheriff's Department as a crossing guard?
Yeah.
I bet I could do that.
Yeah, you could. No, you don't have to.
But I don't have to because of your generosity.
Just go braid a whip and start whipping those
batteries. Oh, the kids? Yeah. I love kids. Kids love me. Anyway, hallelujah. I worked for many years. I was bivocational for many years. Amen. I've never, ever begged. I'll beg for my doggy if I don't have dog food. He's a good boy. He deserves some dog food. He guards us well. I beg for my wife if she don't have no food. I'd be glad to beg and say, please help me get some food for my wife. But I'll tell you who I will not beg for. Not as long as I'm preaching the gospel. I will not beg for the God that I serve.
Amen.
I will not beg for him. I won't beg anybody to get saved so I can say how many came to God under my ministry. I will not. People don't need to be begged to get saved. They ought to be glad to get saved.
Amen.
We ought not bow our head. Amen. Like it's a shameful thing to raise our hand and say, I want to receive Christ.
Amen.
With every head up and every eye open, everybody Jesus called, he called them publicly. Why did he do that? Because if you are ashamed of me before men, I'm going to be ashamed of you before the Father and his angels.
Right.
But if you confess me before men, everybody say publicly.
Publicly.
I will confess you before my Father. And thank you so much. Thank you. We're having Palm Sunday after all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel like a cheerleader for Jesus today. What I want to tell you is that we're in the end times. And the times are hard. And the tendency is to get in the same spirit that the world is in. And that is a spirit of fear, of hopelessness because of our helplessness. and our leaders' helplessness to change it all and fix it all. But we serve a God who is able to do exceedingly above all that we think or ask of Him today. So if you're in a trial today, and we're all being tried by the times that we are in, I want you to know that God is in control, and He wants you to look at everything differently than the world is looking at it today. For we are not the children of darkness, that that day would come upon us as a thief. We are the children of light. And so we're to walk, to live our life as children of light. So we don't just worry about what's coming, because we know who's coming for us. And I'm looking forward to that. Well, having said that, part of the sermon, we'll try to finish it. Let's have another song together before we fellowship.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When you see these things, lift up your head. You know something the world doesn't know, doesn't have a clue about. Amen. And we're told to beware in this time that our hearts not be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, the cares of... I'm not talking about alcoholism per se. I'm talking about being drunk on the cares of the world and the cares of this life. That your heart not be overcharged with drunkenness, surfeiting, drunkenness, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the day that the Son of Man cometh. How was it in the days of Noah? It said they ate, surfeiting. They drank. They married and gave in marriage. And knew not till the flood came and took them all away. They didn't see it coming. They were not ready for it coming. The ark would have been made big enough for everybody if everybody had got saved. But they did not. And they heard the word, because Noah wasn't just an ark builder. The Bible speaks of him in the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. Yeah. Now, Noah, a preacher of righteousness. If I have a tombstone, I want something on it. Mark it down. Praise God. Probably won't have a tombstone, but if I have one, it'll say Robert A. Venable, a preacher of righteousness. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise amen. God. Amen. Moved by fear. God said it's coming. Well, I better build a boat. If a flood's coming, I'm going to build a boat.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Moved by fear, by faith, built an ark. I don't know about you, but I was moved by fear when I realized I was lost and on my way to hell. I ran to God. Hallelujah. Nobody had to coax me, beg me, plead with me. I needed a Savior, and I needed Him bad. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, and thank God I found one in Jesus Christ today. Glory to God. Didn't know this service was going to be like this. I got a lesson plan for next Palm Sunday. You'll have to wait till then to get it. Hallelujah. You may be seated for a little while today as we set up for our celebratory ending to this service today. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
In the book of Zechariah, there's a prophecy. And that's what they had heard, and that's why when he came, it said exactly how he would come. In fact, I'm going to read that to you from the scripture. In the book of Zechariah, many of you know what I'm going to read to you, and how God is so to the letter. Anything he has spoken prophetically that is true, and it's all true when God speaks it. Amen. He watches over his word to perform it, just like he said it. Listen to Zechariah 8 and 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, having salvation. Hallelujah. He cometh to thee and is just, having salvation, He is lowly in spirit, lowly, riding upon the colt, the foal of an ass. That's the prophecy that had them filled with anticipation on Palm Sunday. And when Palm Sunday occurred, I'll read that to you. There's other portions of Scripture that brings this same scenario. But I'm going to read it from Matthew 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come unto Bethage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples. Say, listen to how God causes His word to be performed to the letter. Amen. Saying unto them, go ye into the village over against you. Straightway he shall find an ass and a colt. Everybody say, what a coinkadink. That's Popeye talk. There is no coincidence with God. Amen. The prophecy is being fulfilled. Your king is going to come. But he's not going to come initially the way you would expect him to come. He's not going to come as all conquering kings came, yeah, riding upon a white horse symbolizing victory. This coming of Jesus was to die on the cross, yes, for us. Can you say amen? Amen? Isn't that an amazing contradiction of what they were looking for and what they were seeing? But they knew and hoped that he was the Messiah they were looking for, that he was a political king that would lead a military coup, yeah, and overcome and overthrow Roman occupation. And they were disappointed. One of the reasons people were crying in that crowd, crucify him, because they were so disappointed in him, because he did not come to overthrow Rome at that time and Roman occupation. He came to overthrow Satan's kingdom, praise God, the kingdom of darkness, yeah, to take the keys of that kingdom away from the devil. And he came to deliver you and I for an eternal salvation, not a temporary political and change in the nation.
Amen.
More people are celebrating, wanting God to do something temporary for their convenience than something spiritual for their eternal good.
Yeah.
I don't want to go through a trial. If he wants and is determined to be more like his son, if he wants that, if he desires that, I want to be more like his son.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is a vase, and I'll try not to knock it over. Everybody look at the vase first. Look at the vase. I want everybody to see it. Okay? Now, look back at me.
Amen.
And more importantly, just start looking to him.
Amen.
That's called a distraction.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. All right. Having been distracted, let's get back on track.
Amen.
They and it wasn't just the Jewish zealots alone. The political people who wanted to overthrow Rome, and when our king comes, when our Messiah comes, when the Anointed One comes, he will lead us in a coup and we will overthrow Roman occupation. But he came, not on a white horse, leading a mighty army to overcome. He came, lowly, riding on the donkey, the foal of a donkey, fulfilling the scripture that they had heard in Zechariah. That's how he's going to come. Your king will come to you, yeah, riding on a donkey, the foal of a donkey. And what did he tell them? That king cometh unto thee meek, sitting upon an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and on them and put on them their clothes. There was no saddle on him, but they took their cloaks and threw over that donkey so Jesus could sit on their cloaks.
Amen.
And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way and cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes went before that followed and cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. How's your Hosanna today?
Hosanna. Hosanna.
Yes. Let's see if it's in working fashion. How's your Hosanna today? Do you have a Hosanna?
Hosanna, yes.
Do you understand Hosanna?
Amen.
May I tell you what it is? Did you bring one to Palm Sunday? The easiest thing to do on Palm Sunday is not give a high Hosanna to Jesus in praise. It's to wave one of these. Some churches, there's one for everybody, and it's really cool to see everybody. You would assume that everybody has a Hosanna. It's easier to grab a palm frond and lay it down before the Lord than it is to have a personal praise for Him.
Yeah, amen.
Especially if you're going through a trial and you don't understand that particular trial. Amen. Why are you saying this? Because if we go through this just like we all know it's supposed to go, and yet we're facing these, and we don't have a Hosanna for Him, and we don't have a high praise in our heart for Him who came to die for us, I'm going to tell you what's happening in your life, clear and simple. And I love you, and I say this in love, but I'm going to shoot straight with you.
Amen.
If your eyes are on yourself and your trouble and your problem, you have no Hosanna for Him.
Yeah.
And you can, and I pray you will before you leave this service.
Praise God. Amen.
Hosanna is first and foremost. I didn't finish this scripture, but let's stop with Hosanna. It's first and foremost a plea. Everybody say a plea.
A plea.
It means save, please. In their tongue, it meant save, please. They were looking for a salvation from Roman occupation. We know His mission was far beyond that. That day came, but not on that day. He was on His way to the cross. This say I, not prophetically, but He didn't go straight to the cross, did He?
No.
He stopped at the temple to cleanse the temple. Something is happening now. Sin that is not repented of and confessed is being exposed in some of the highest levels of spiritual leadership, of mega churches and all the churches in between.
Yeah.
God at His own expense, for people are going to speak evil of Christianity, but He will not cover up sin in the camp.
Amen.
He never has. He never will.
Amen.
But when there's no true victory in the Church of Jesus Christ, there is a reason for it. And the Old Testament covenant children of God found out exactly what it was. They went up into city after city, taking city after city under the anointing of God.
Amen.
And no one could withstand them.
Amen.
But one day they went up to a small city, easy to be defeated.
Amen.
They didn't have to take a full army to do it. It was so vulnerable.
Amen.
And they took a beating, and they took a licking. And Joshua said, you know something? If we're being defeated by the enemy with a covenant of victory,
yeah,
there's a reason.
Right.
Does anybody know the reason?
Amen.
He said there is sin in the camp.
Amen.
Because in one of those cities, they were told, don't take spoil from these idolatrous cities. Don't get greed involved. Money changers, come on. Don't get greed involved.
Right.
Don't get avarice involved. We're in a materialistic world. You heard the song by Madonna. Maybe you didn't ever hear it. I heard it. Couldn't help but hear it. I grew up with it. Well, I was older, but anyhow. Part of my growing up was going through all those stages. She made a song, said, I'm a material girl in a material world. This world is absolutely consumed with materialism.
Amen.
With what's in it for me.
Right.
What can I get out of it? And when someone takes home something that God told, don't touch it, leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And hides it so that I can keep it without anybody knowing it. God exposes that.
Right.
He said your loss of victory is connected directly to that.
That's right.
And if you don't deal with it, you'll never have another victory.
Right.
Never have another victory. Sin in the camp. That's why he stopped at the temple to set an example for you and for me and for the church world today. On his way to the cross, he said, his Bible, I got to stop and go in here.
Mm-hmm.
And he went in and exposed the sin of materialism and greed. If you're thinking about you instead of him right now, then it's all about you. No wonder you don't have a Hosanna for him. It's your hurt, your pain, your disappointment, your disillusionment. Poor, poor, pitiful me. If you don't get your mind off of you, you will never focus on him.
Amen.
And if you don't focus on him, you're going to stay beaten, battered, cast down. You'll tell the world that Jesus is the answer, but you can't produce it.
Yeah.
You can't show them that he is the answer.
Yeah.
It's got to be real for them to believe it. They've been hoodwinked too much, hornswoggled too much. When I preached in the jail system, the first thing that they told me, be real, be open, be honest, because you can't con a con. They know. They were conned before I went down there to preach, because a man had went in, a preacher had went in. He took pictures of some of the guys. They had some sad stories. Their families had ostracized them. They went to jail. They quit them. They didn't come to see them. They didn't answer a phone call when they could make one. They didn't bring them a toothbrush. They didn't bring them anything. So he took pictures of them, had some of their real sad, true stories, and went from church to church to church raising money to help those guys. And guess what he did with the money? And they found out about it. He kept it. He spent it on himself and didn't give one penny to them. No wonder Jesus stopped at the temple on Palm Sunday on the way to the cross. Sheriff was Malcolm Beard back then. The assistant warden came to our church with his wife. He told me the true story. He said, when you go in, they're going to look at you suspiciously because the last guy that was in there took advantage of their condition and kept the money for himself. And they look at ministers, chaplains, and they look at them the same way.
Yeah.
I had to pray that God would help me convince them that I was coming for Jesus and not coming for any personal gain. No ulterior motive in preaching the good news and sharing Christ with them. Malcolm Beard told that guy, I should arrest you right now. But if you leave my county, Hillsborough County, and you never show your face in Hillsborough County again, I won't arrest you. But if you set one foot in my county, I will arrest you and charge you for fraud, defrauding these people.
Yeah.
So when I went in, I was not welcome. I was not welcomed. But I prayed that God would make himself real to them. They asked me a question. How do you feel about being in here? I said, I'm going to tell you straight up, I don't like it. I don't have, that I know of, claustrophobia. But when I walk down the hall and these come into this cell block that We're holding this Bible study in and those doors start slamming behind me. Oh, by the way, the guards, they didn't much care for me either, because they looked at me just like they looked at that other guy. Here's somebody else come with an ulterior motive for being here. A lot of people ministering with the wrong motive. Paul talked about them when he was in prison, being stoned and left for dead and beat half to death. He said some of them are out there preaching for personal gain.
Right.
I could get so upset and discouraged, I just give up. I'm doing the right thing, getting beat up. They're doing the wrong thing and getting a Mercedes.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
That's discouraging.
Right.
But he had to turn it around.
Yeah.
He had to let God help him turn it around.
Yeah.
He said, listen, but I thank God. When they preach Jesus, even though they themselves, they're the people who are going to say, I've done mighty works. Jesus said, I never knew you, you that work iniquity.
Yeah.
Amen. Their day is coming, but it's not yet. But if someone hears the gospel, regardless of their wrong motive, the gospel itself is powerful.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Said, I thank God. He had a Hosanna anyway. I thank God because Christ is preached. Whether out of sincerity or the wrong motive, thank God somebody's telling the story.
Amen.
Thank God somebody's telling the story. Hallelujah. If a parrot could speak verbatim John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have eternal life, and somebody receive it and respond to it, come to Christ.
It's the Word.
I said it's the Word. Hallelujah. A lady gave her testimony. She held a prayer meeting in her home. Lady minister. She spoke in a particular, peculiar cadence of tongues. It was her tongues of praise and prayer. She had, it was either a parrot or a minor bird. Minor birds are good at it. Very good at it. But he sat in the cage during prayer meeting after prayer meeting after prayer meeting. And one prayer meeting, they were getting ready to pray and they heard tongues just like hers with the same cadence coming from that parrot. May I say to you, that parrot was not spirit-filled.
Amen.
Can you agree?
Amen.
Is it possible to speak in tongues without the Spirit giving the utterance? Paul said, yes, it is. And without the agape love confirming by the Holy Spirit that it's Him. Amen.
Yeah.
It's sounding brass. It's tinkling cymbal.
Yeah.
It's come tie my bow tie. A pastor asked me recently, said, is it all right if someone says, here's how you get tongues. You start talking baby talk. You start saying mumbling baby things, and then it will evolve. And you just say it over and over. I thought, come tie my bow tie. Come tie my bow tie. Come tie my bow tie. Sounds like some kind of tongues, doesn't it? Come tie my bow tie. Oh, they got the Holy Ghost. Really? That bird have the Holy Ghost? The bird wasn't saying, come tie my bow tie. The bird was saying, yay, the bird was speaking in what the bird had heard. Hallelujah. But when you speak what the Spirit gives you the utterance, you're not mimicking, you're not muttering, and it's not, have you ever heard tongues that fell flat? I have. I've heard tongues that someone was, it was gibberish. It doesn't have to be in a language, for when a man speaketh in an unknown tongue, he doesn't speak to men, he speaks to God, howbeit no man understandeth it. It's not Day of Pentecost tongues as a sign. It's a personal praise and prayer language.
Right.
This cleansing of the temple is occurring. It's ugly what's happening. Because spiritual leaders, as old as I am, and young people that are leaders, that know the Scripture, that have encouraged and preached to others, are being exposed if they're not repentant of sin. Either you will repent of it, or God will allow it. to be exposed.
Amen.
Be sure, without a doubt, my sin, your sin, if it's not repented of and dealt with through the blood of Christ, will find you out.
Amen.
It will find you out. And there's an unwelcome message in the Church of Jesus Christ today, and it's a message of repentance. If Jesus is coming soon, John the Baptist would say to us what he said to them, because he knew Jesus was coming in that coming. He's coming in a spiritual coming in the rapture. But listen, he said, "Who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come?" And what was he baptizing them unto? He was baptizing them unto repentance. And he said, "Repent." He came out of the wilderness with a message from God: prepare you the way of the Lord. And it doesn't begin by just anticipating His coming. It begins by being ready for His coming.
Amen.
What was His message? It was simple. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. God's rule through His King is at hand. Repent. Make the crooked path straight. Never dreamed this would be our Hosanna service. But it's important because God is cleansing the temple. And not just churches and denominations that are getting exposed, but people. I don't want God to have to expose me to get me into repentance. I want to be quick to repent when I know something's wrong. I want to receive that message. I want to respond to it. I want to repent by focusing too much on me and not enough on Him, to where I can't present Him to the world as He truly is. He's a gracious God, Brother Taylor. He's a good God. And I had fainted, as David said, unless I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I brought Him a high hosanna this morning. You say, "Brother Bumble, I got trouble." Well, one of your trouble is eye trouble. Eye trouble. Because your focus is on your trouble. Your eye is on your trouble. And He said, looking unto, or the scripture says, looking unto Jesus. Did you know if Jesus is over here, you can't look over there and see the one who will encourage you, who will stimulate your hope and faith in Him to take you through that trouble? Looking unto Jesus doesn't begin with looking to Jesus. It begins, as the Amplified says it, you can see the logic in it, looking away from all that will distract and setting your gaze upon Jesus. We're so easily distracted. I'm not going to break this, but I want to illustrate it. Every eye in this building is on that vase when it fell over in the middle of preaching. Isn't that amazing? And we think we're going to go out into this world. There's something happening out there. And in your home and in your life and in your family, Jesus said, you're going to have some trouble in this world.
Oh, yeah.
How many are in this world? We don't have aliens here. Almost 100%. Let's try it again. How many are in this world that we're living in right now? You're not in some la-la land. You're in the real world. You're a realist. In this world, Jesus said, you shall have tribulation. I am highly scriptural and biblical today. I have tribulation. Brother Venable, it must be wonderful to build your faith to such a level that you can just preach the gospel and live in a place of faith where nothing ever bothers you or gets to you. You are wrong about that. I don't live in that world. Amen. Have you ever heard? I'm in a world of trouble. Can you say, man?
Yeah.
You know what Jesus said? You are in a world of trouble. In this world, you shall have tribulation.
Yeah.
The Greek word is thelpsis, and it means anguish. This is pressure and trouble. But in the next breath, he asked you to look at him and to him.
Yeah.
Amen. But be of good cheer. Cheer up. Sometimes when I'm up here, I feel like a cheerleader. I don't mind being a cheerleader if we can get a cheer every now and then. Yeah. Amen. You say, Brother Ben, you don't understand. Yes, I do understand. That's the problem. I do understand. We live in a world of trouble, but Jesus said, but cheer up. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Look at somebody and say, cheer up.
Cheer up.
You're going to have to look at them again one more time. Just now this time I want you to do it different. Say, help me cheer up.
Help me cheer up.
Now you may not. Is that okay? We're being real today.
Yeah.
You cheer up. You cheer up so you can help me cheer up. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And we need some Holy Ghost cheerleaders. I don't mean emotionalism. I'm talking about the real deal. Cheer up. Why? He said, the world of trouble that you're in, I have overcome it.
Yes.
One translation says, I have robbed it of power to harm you.
Hallelujah.
But the only way to get victory over it is to look to the one that's robbed it of its power to hurt you and take hope and faith in him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And bring him a hosanna. Their plea was, Lord, save. Please save. It's why they said Hosanna when he came.
Yeah.
They laid the palm fronds down, made a robe for him. Then they saw the disciples take off their cloaks and put it over the donkey for him to ride on. And they threw their cloaks down. It got personal to bless him. Hosanna. In the highest,
yeah.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord,
yeah.
Fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah, your king will come to you.
Yeah. Right.
Riding on a donkey, the foal of a donkey.
Yeah.
If you didn't bring him a hosanna on Palm Sunday, you're not going to give him a true worship next Sunday.
Yeah.
It's that simple. We go through the motions. We know all of this stuff. This is Sunday school stuff. But this thing about getting real with God and getting right with God to where our praise is not sporadic and it's not based on just emotion. It's based on a deep devotion to him and its ability to look away from that will distract and set your gaze upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith.
Yes, he is.
Amen. He's the beginning. He's the Alpha.
Yes, he is.
He's the Omega.
Yes.
Praise God. But you've got to look away from what you're focusing on.
Amen.
And that involves yourself as well.
Yes.
And look, set your gaze on Jesus. This is about Jesus. It's not about you and me today. But he loves you and me enough that he gave his life.
Yes.
And he said, in your world of trouble, I want you to look to me for the strength you need, the courage you need, the hope you need, the faith you need.
Yes, amen.
So let's put that in context. Lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset you. And run with perseverance. That's how patience is rendered. Not take a number, sit down and say, I don't know why God don't deliver me. I've prayed and people have prayed for me, but I'm in this same world of trouble. Well, you're going to stay in that world of trouble. He's not going to take you out of the world till he comes for you. I hear a cricket. Where? What? I hear a cricket chirping somewhere. You can't get out. Whoa, there's another way to get out of this world is when you finally croak.
Amen.
You realize you're going to croak one day. Grandpa out on the farm promised his grandson a pony. He said, when I pass away, you can have a pony. He actually told his grandson, when I croak, you can have a pony. Your dad will inherit the farm, and I got 3 or 4 ponies. You can have a pony when I croak. Little boy went out to visit Grandpa on the farm, walking with his daddy. He said, Daddy, can you make a sound like a frog? He said, well, I suppose I could, son. He said, why? He said, because Grandpa says, when you croak, I can have the pony. It'll come to me. We're all going to die sometime. You'll be out of this world of trouble. Won't it? How many love the song, Won't It Be Wonderful There? Having no burden to bear. Walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One. Won't it be wonderful there?
Yes, it will be, yeah.
And in the sweet, I'm not making fun, but listen, that, our hope is that in the sweet by and by.
Yeah.
In the sweet by and by. You know where we're living right now? We're not living yet in the sweet. That's coming. Thank God it's coming. We're living in the nasty here and now.
Amen.
And David said what you need to get today in the Psalms. I had fainted, been overcome and broken by the pressure and the tribulation of this fallen world.
Yes.
Unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living.
Amen.
In the right here and the right now, praise God. When they lost hope, when they took Jesus to the cross and nailed him to it, they didn't see what we can see clearly in retrospect. We know that he did not fail. Amen. We know the cross was what God was going to use to turn everything around. Universally, it was what looked like a cosmic defeat, God turned into a cosmic victory.
Yeah,
because he turned that around. So Hosanna initially was a plea for help. And when the help didn't immediately come the way they thought it would, they turned on Jesus.
Yeah.
What did the crowd holler of Jewish people? You want Barabbas? The thief and murderer? They killed the people they robbed.
Yeah.
Or you want Jesus? What did they say? Does anybody know what they said? Just blurt it out. You don't. It's not you saying it, but what did they say? Give us Barabbas.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do with Jesus? Crucify him. Pilate was reluctant. He tried to wash his hands from the guilt of authorizing this and participating in it. He washed his hands. I have nothing to do with this. It's them. They said something that God listened to and has caused them trouble to this day.
Yeah.
Is it his blood be upon us
and our children?
And our children? They literally said, in order to kill him, get away and see him killed. It's amazing the covenant people of Israel wanted their Messiah that they refused to accept as their Messiah.
Right. Amen.
Killed.
Yeah.
His blood be upon us and our people.
Yeah.
And this is the most contested piece of earth on the planet, about the size of New Jersey. And until the Prince of Peace comes, there will be no peace in Jerusalem. So when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, there's going to be a temporary peace through the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
that's going to break that peace. And he said, when they do, you better head for the mountains. Don't even stop to get anything out of the house. You run for the mountains. He's going to try to kill you all. He's going to desecrate the temple, break that covenant. There's going to be a false peace.
Yeah.
And through peace, without the Prince of Peace, he will deceive many.
Yeah.
The world is so tired of the last day condition of wars and rumors of wars. It is creating something else. Jesus said, because of the wars and rumors, famines. They can't get, it's not just oil trying to get through Hormuz. It's grain. It's food. There are people going to starve if the wars continue. And Jesus said they're going to escalate and continue. People are going to die not from just bombs and bullets. There's a drought in Iran. They're running out of something we take for granted, water, right now. There shall be famines, worldwide global famine. So this future is bleak unless you can trust Jesus.
Amen.
Don't let the devil cheat you out of the hope that only he can give you. To look to him, you can't look at you any longer. Poor me. You're looking at you. You will leave here no matter where you go, hunting for peace, satisfaction, fulfillment. No matter where you go, there you are.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
And if your eyes are on you, you're going to take your discouragement into a crowd of encouraged people. I knew of a loved one, one of our loved ones, family members, in the middle of a Holy Ghost service, and she made this statement. She said, I felt like I was in a phone booth with the door closed, an isolation booth. Everybody worshiping but me. Everybody being blessed but me. If you don't get your eyes off of you and have a Hosanna for him, that's how you'll leave here. And that's how you'll live your life. It is a plea for help. And when it didn't come the way they thought it would, and in the immediate sense, they turned on him, called a curse upon themselves, and watched him die in agony on the cross. In fact, it said they just sat down and watched him there.
Yeah. Right.
With pitiless eyes. Looking away from all that will distract.
Yes,
setting your gaze. That takes a discipline that is born out of devotion to him. And without deepening the devotion to him, guess who will drain your express attention? It'll be you and your problem, you and your trouble. And God is calling you, look away from your trouble today.
Yes, he is. Amen.
In this world, you're going to be in a world of trouble.
Amen.
Cheer up.
Yes.
For I, who am going before you and leading you, have overcome the world. Can you say amen? But you can't look to him while looking at yourself or the world conditions. You've got to change something. It's got to happen. And if it doesn't happen, we're going to be beat down and beleaguered, living in faulty bodies in a fallen world with a formidable foe. The devil's not playing. If he can distract you, he can destroy you. I said, if he can distract you from Jesus, you'll be easy prey for him. Because your faith will fail when you need it the most. The only way your faith will not fail with all the distractions around you is your gaze is on Jesus and not on that he's using to distract you. How many's ever saw Gunsmoke or one of the old westerns? It's okay, that's not carnal. Gunsmoke and Miss Kitty and Chester. Sometimes I walk like Chester when I sit too long. Give me a fist pump.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah. I remember the old westerns when they, what, Tom Mix, yeah. Hopalong Cassidy, yeah. Lash LaRue.
Yeah, I remember all those too.
You remember them?
Oh, yeah.
I had a crush on Penny. Before I met Pamela. Started with a P. It was in my destiny. She was Sky King's niece. He was a, you know, it was cowboy days, but he had an airplane. It was late cowboy days. But the deal was, in the old cowboy days, they want to rob the bank. What do? Just go in there, guns blazing? No. There's too many people. Got money in the bank. They're going to pull their guns. Sheriff going to come. So what do? Wherever they got the grain stored, they go and set the barn on fire. Yeah. Somebody runs down the street, say, "Fire! Fire! Fire!" And everybody runs to put out the fire.
Yeah.
And guess what? Ain't nobody watching the bank.
Yeah.
It worked in cowboy days. It's working even better now.
Yeah.
Can you say, man, with the media? Everybody say the media. Fire! Fire! Fire!
Yeah.
Oh, I wish we had Holy Ghost fire. That's what fire we need. Run to it. Don't run from it.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so what do? They walk in the bank. There's no sheriff. There's nobody to stop them. They rob the bank and they're long gone. And after they put out the fire or watch it burn to the ground, they go back to the bank. And guess what? The vault is empty.
Yeah.
They've been robbed. Amen. There should be some joy in a vault of our heart that the devil can't get with distractions.
Amen.
There should be a peace of God in our hearts that the devil can't get through distractions. There should be the love of God in our hearts that the devil can't get through distractions.
Yeah.
Let the barn burn down if it has to.
Yeah.
God is still God. Our faith is not in the grain in that barn, but the God who fills the empty meal barrel. Amen. We dip out, He dips in, we're still going to make it.
Amen.
We don't need the barn. We don't need the grain, but boy, do we need this kind of God. Hallelujah. And we have Him.
Amen.
And His promise.
Yeah.
That's what Hosanna. Please help us. But when God turned that thing around, Hosanna changes.
Yeah.
In heaven, tribulation saints with all the saints are crying Hosanna.
Praise God.
Whoa! Did you know that Hosanna didn't just happen on that day and then stop? In heaven, tribulation saints that have come through not our trouble, but the day of trouble, laid down their lives, been martyred for the sake of the gospel. I got to tell you this story as we close. I spent over an hour on the phone talking to a lady who had been had a clickbait experience on YouTube. A pastor from her denomination, notable guy, said he was taken out. Amazing that he was non-Pentecostal. Said he had a dream. And God showed him that 98% of all Christians, and I know there's a lot of phony Christians, but he said 98% of all Christians are going to hell. She called her daddy weeping. She thought, I became a Christian years ago. Am I going, I mean, if only 2% going to make it, I don't feel as devoted as I need. Well, it's a good incentive to get devoted. I tell people, if you don't know you're saved, then get saved. Then you'll know you're saved. That's not what I told her. I told her the scripture I'm going to read to you. The tribulation saints and every born-again believer is going to say Hosanna in heaven. But it's not a plea for help. It's a thank God who has helped. the same phrase used in different contexts. High hosannas to the Lord today. How many have been saved?
Amen.
Don't let the devil steal your hosanna for him.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Would you like to know the scripture I gave her? To let her know there's more than 2%. That Jesus' blood was far more effective than that.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
If I can find it, I'll read it to you. I got it marked. Revelation 7. Let's read it in closing. Beginning with verse 9. I don't even need my glasses. I've read it before, so even without them, I can. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. That must be quite a few people. Everybody say a great multitude.
Great multitude.
Does it say great multitude? I know Jesus said there are few that be saved. In relation to the global population, that is true.
Yeah.
But there is a great multitude that are saved.
Yeah.
And I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. Somebody say, that's a bunch.
That's a bunch.
He said, nobody can even give an estimate of a crowd like this. It's such a great multitude, no man can number them.
Amen.
Can't count that high.
Amen.
Of what? Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in robes with palms in their hands.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. They're still waving them palms, brother. Glory to God. High hosanna. Wave that thing. Wave that thing like you got a palm in your hand. Hallelujah. Got out of that real good, didn't I? You know, we don't even go there. We don't even think that. Wipe that off your thoughts. Hallelujah. I'm happy today. Because I'm reading about a Savior and a great salvation and a mission accomplished. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That many sons be brought into the kingdom. Glory to God.
Yes.
Okay, get your hosanna ready. Get your hosanna ready. Clothed in white robes with palms in their hands. This is in heaven. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood about the throne. And the elders and the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces, and they worshiped God, saying, amen.
Amen.
Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And one of the elders saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. You think you got trouble? You think you got trouble? You think you got trouble? These came out of great tribulation.
Amen.
Through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom of God. We live in a world where there is pressure and anguish, but the tribulation period and the persecution of the church during that period, friend of mine, this is Sunday school compared to what they had to face and the devotion they had to have and the faith and hope that they had to keep in order to come through that time. And listen to what he said about them. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. How many have washed your robe, came to Christ repenting of your sin and received Him as your Savior, applied the blood of that cross to your life? Hallelujah. Then you should have a high hosanna for Him. Glory to God, hallelujah. That takes your focus off of the world and its conditions, off your enemies who hate you, amen, off yourself, who is a distraction to you.
Amen.
Look at yourself. You can't. I wish I had a mirror that I could pass around. Not to see your countenance. I see your countenance. You don't want to see everything that I see. It's distracting. Amen. You can say anything with your mouth, but your face talks.
Yeah.
I said your face talks. Want scripture? Thank you. I'm going to give you one.
Amen.
The eyes of him who is joyful rejoices the heart of others. You want to see how David handled it without the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Scriptures that we have to encourage us? Just the old covenant? So, why are you disquieted within me? So, why are you discouraged within me? Hope thou, looking to Jesus, setting your gaze. Come on. Hope thou in God. For he, in other words, if I'd set my hope in him, he shall yet be the health of my countenance. He's going to turn it around. He's going to turn it around.
Amen.
This is my saying. I'm coined the phrase. If you hear anybody else say it, tell me so I can sue him for copyright. Plagiarism. Anybody could say this. I don't have anything copyrighted. This is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. He'll turn your frown upside down.
Amen.
What happens when your frown is turned upside down?
It's a smile.
A smile? The devil hates it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. When God turned, and that's what he wants to do in your life and mine, when he turns things around.
Mm-hmm.
They were so discouraged and disgusted with Jesus, but when he rose from the dead, God turned all of that around.
Amen.
And they saw a master plan had unfolded.
Yeah.
Because if he hadn't went to that cross, there had been no sin debt paid.
Had
there been no sin debt paid, death would have prevailed and there'd been no resurrection. But thank God the sin debt was paid. There is a resurrection and he was raised for our justification.
Amen.
Forensic term means that the enemy can't accuse you of anything because my blood has cleansed you from everything.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Your robe has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And there's a multitude in heaven that no man can number, and a young woman that thought, I don't know if I can make the 2% because I'm not a perfect Christian. Well, join the club. There are no perfect Christians.
Amen.
We had an evangelist used to come to our church, and he used to sing this song, I'm running, trying to make 100 because 99 and a half just won't do.
Yeah.
And I thought, boy, I didn't call him boy because, you know, some people are real touchy. He wasn't a black man either. He's a white man like me.
Yeah.
Brown man. There are no white men. White men are ghosts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're brown. There's all the colors. But, he said, you got to, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Absolutely correct. That's why the blood was shed, so that he can present it unto himself the way we cannot present ourselves.
Amen.
That he might present it unto himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle nor any such thing, but that it should be holy.
Amen.
Who presents us that way? Amen. Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, always looking unto Jesus, always looking away from us and unto him for every victory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, and he was preaching it so strong. One day, he was staying at a motel in Plant City, Florida. And a lady that everybody knew and him were in the pool together. They didn't see them do anything, but I'm going to tell you, if I'm in the pool with another woman in my bathing suit and her in hers, my wife is going to...
Yeah.
I don't have to do anything. I've already done something. Come on, women. Hey, man, don't stay out of this. If you see your wife in a swimming pool in a bikini with some guy, she don't have to do nothing.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. Do you hear what I'm telling you?
Yeah,
don't you put that bikini on.
I don't even know.
Okay, all right. We won't go there. We won't go there. And it ruined everything he was saying because he had compromised.
Yeah.
And can I tell you why? Because he had to get his eyes off of Jesus. The faith to overcome only comes from him. It doesn't come from us building our faith to such a degree that we don't have to acknowledge and deal with temptation.
Amen.
We have to acknowledge it. We must deal with it. But we need help with it. Hosanna, Lord, help, please. And Hosanna in heaven when we stand with our, because he does give us that help. Hosanna in heaven is a praise for the help that he gave us to get there. Because nobody's going to get there without help.
Amen.
Can you say amen? I want you to leave here today with a high Hosanna in your heart for the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because if you'll give him that, it will help you to focus off of yourself and onto the one who came on a donkey, humbled himself, became obedient to the death of the cross, stopped only to cleanse the temple on the way, like he's cleansing temples right now. Denominations are being exposed for their wokeness, their compromise with the world system. Leaders in churches and singing groups, I hate to see them exposed because I like some of their music, but it's not the same when I find out that one group that I love to hear. A Christian journalist went to interview them, and the first thing they did in their apartment was offer him a beer. My son played guitar on our platform at church, Allen. He got involved with a Christian group playing music, inviting people to the Lord. They offered him a beer. He drank it. Some of them didn't become alcoholic. But it grabbed him. The spirit of addiction got a hold of him. He had a scholarship that he could have used to get a degree from PTL and their media ministry at that time when they were running smooth, to get involved in the production and the sound because of his talent and abilities. Would be paid for because he graduated 2 years early. He wanted to get through with school, not so he could go and do something for God with his talent. He wanted to get through school so he'd get in a pop band and do his thing. And that's exactly where he went. And it ruined his testimony, and it ruined his life, and it cut his life short. What took him home was the result of the years, and he didn't go to bars and party. He used alcohol like some of you use medication. It's okay to use medication to get help, but there are people on drugs for their nerves, drugs for their depression, drugs for whatever emotional or mental problem they have today. He used alcohol instead of prescription drugs, but he used it the same way. I work 8 hours, I come home, I drink so I can sleep and get up and go work again. And it was in that drinking that he could find peace. But when he finally came to Jesus and got off the alcohol, he told me how he got sleep. With his health problems, he said, "Dad, I go in my room. I lay down on the bed and I know I might have a seizure. I've done that before and woke up in the hospital. And I have all these problems. The Lord knows he had problems in his family life. He said, but Dad, I go and I lay down in the bed and I call his name. He said, I just lay there. And he said, when I say Jesus, when I say, see, when you say it, it's not saying words. It's looking to. It's looking to. It's looking to. Hallelujah. He said, I find peace and I go to sleep. And when he went home as a Christian, he told my grandson, he said, I'm going to go lay down and take a nap. And I know just how he napped. Jesus. Jesus. And in his sleep, he had a seizure that took him to heaven, straight to heaven. Hallelujah. But it took that full circle. But I never stopped believing for him and praying for him. And God never stopped working on him. Hallelujah. And he is with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And he knew he would be with the Lord, because he had a peace like I haven't seen in many Christians that have lived their life for Jesus to go home. That didn't scare him at all. Hallelujah. And I said, son, I'm going to pray for your healing. He said, Dad, I'm going to beat you to heaven. He had a knowing. He said, I brought this on myself. I brought this on myself. He didn't believe he deserved to be healed, but he knew he deserved to be saved. Because nobody deserves to be saved. It's by grace. Through faith. Through faith. Through faith. Can you say amen? And he knew God's grace was sufficient for him. Hallelujah. He couldn't undo the past. He couldn't go back and relive his life. But he could do what the thief on the cross did. Yeah. Receive Christ as his Savior. So I've watched this thing work. And I'm telling you right now, don't let the devil get in the safe of your life through the distractions. I'll tell you about your enemies. They're going to be so close to you, you can't run from them or get away from them. How close? Somebody ask me so we can close. Thank you. I know you want to close now. Amen. That's a good amen on that. How close? Your enemies. You think it's the media. You think it's the Democrats. Well, they are. You think it's... come on. Yeah, your politics will make enemies. Just your conservative views based on the Bible, your Judeo-Christian ethic will cause enemies to hate you. Marvel not. I kid you not. Amen. Your enemies shall be they. It's going to get closer to home. You can turn that frazzling television off if you choose to for a while. You can quit reading the clickbait if you choose to for a while. Your enemies shall be they of your own household. Mother and son, father and daughter. Come on. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's going to happen. That happened in my family.
Amen.
And it's still happening. I don't have much family left, but what family I do have left don't want nothing to do with me. Why? Simply because I'm a I don't preach at them, but I follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's the way I vote. That's the way I live, and that's the moral standard that I set for my life.
Amen.
Amen. And so I'm ostracized by them, but I'm embraced by him. And that makes up for it all.
Amen.
That makes up for it all. This whole world, give me Jesus. I won't turn back. How about you?
Amen.
So let's give him Hosanna this Palm Sunday as we close. God is cleansing the temple.
Amen.
He's exposing sin in the camp.
Amen.
Leaders are falling. It's heartrending and heartbreaking. But I'll guarantee you, if Saul is compromised and he's going to lose his crown, there's a David being anointed in the wings. God's going to have a leader. Can you say, man, God's going to have. If Elijah is taken to heaven, God's going to have an anointed man on the earth. He'll take the man, but not the mantle. Can you say, man? If Elijah's taken up, Elisha's in line. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, church. God is getting ready to turn this thing around. If we will let Him, it'll happen in our own personal life and families. God's going to turn it around. Will you look to Jesus for it today? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Hosanna, be lifted higher. Let's give Him a Hosanna before we go home. Will you stand with me? Did you get something out of Palm Sunday? Did you get enough? You want me to preach some more?